Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
All right, here we go.
I'm ready.
We launch into a three-day week. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Thursday, we'll have a special program from CBS. Friday, we will extend America's First News up until 10 o'clock. So, Joe and I get a couple of 2-3 days off.
Hey, that sounds decent.
Well, every day is a holiday for you anyway.
Right. I just live in large.
All right. We'll take comers. If you wish to call us now, do so. 1-800-795-9565. Stan or Eric are calling in right now, so we'll be ready to talk to them shortly. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236 and use the keyword OTM. Stan, what could it possibly be
now?
Well,
you know, before we start with Stan, I hope Stan wants to talk about the Rittenhouse reaction, which I find appalling,
what
frankly.
Happened?
Well, NBC News, among the others, NBC News anchor Maria Shriver sparked outrage over the weekend for tweeting her controversial thoughts on Friday's verdict. She said, "I'm trying to take a beat and digest the Rittenhouse verdict. My son just asked me how it's possible that he didn't get charged for anything. How is that possible? I don't have an answer for him." I think that demonstrates what a, well, I say idiot or uninformed, ill-informed person
Wait,
she is.
Who is this?
Maria Shriver.
Oh, okay.
He certainly was charged. He wouldn't have had a trial if he hadn't been charged.
Oh, she used the wrong word.
Wrong word. I don't think she understands the legal system. Anyway, is that what you called about, Stan?
Sort of.
Okay, well, fire away.
On Friday, there were two people acquitted of murder in this country. One in Wisconsin, one in Florida. One a white man, one a black man. The black man in Florida was accused of shooting cops after a SWAT raid on his home while he was sleeping. Okay, now I'm not sure it's supposedly a warranted raid, and his father opened the door, but the guy, from what I read, he woke up, saw guns, the guy's pointing guns in his windows in the bedroom, and he fired at him. And evidently he killed one and wounded some others, and his girlfriend that was sleeping in the bed with him was killed by the cops. Now, the guy was a convicted felon. He had a gun. Irregardless, he was acquitted of murder charges because of self-defense. So, the news media coming out with their BS about what if Rittenhouse was a black man, would he have been treated the same as he was on Friday is a bunch of hooey if there's a decent criminal justice system doing its job.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point where they're outraged Tea Party people protesting the verdict in Florida.
I didn't even hear about the case at all.
Either.
Exactly, Mark. Nobody heard about it.
Was it possible
that... They had to dig for it, but it's out there.
Is it possible?
I mean, I'm sure the local Florida outlets had it, but you didn't see it on the MSNBCs or the CNNs. No, they were too outraged about the Kyle Rittenhouse acquittal because he was a white man, and they've lied about him since the beginning and call him a white supremacist, including their leader, Biden, calling a white supremacist while he was running for president. Now, I'm sure that the lawsuits will be flying soon against the news media and Mr. Biden. Now, I know he can't be sued while he sits in the Oval Office, but the lawsuits will come because he did it as a private citizen and as a candidate that he defamed Kyle Rittenhouse, calling him a white supremacist when it's not true.
Well, there's certainly no evidence. And over the weekend on
Media Buzz.
Well, not on Media Buzz. I did see Media Buzz. But one of the other networks, I forget which one it was, referred to him again as having arrived armed and ready for action. He didn't arrive there armed. The gun was already in the state. He did not transport a weapon across state lines. He obviously was defending himself, whether or not he should have been there. I mean, you can make the argument, and I think it's a legitimate argument, that why did he go there? I mean, he had no particular dog in that fight other than he didn't want to see somebody's property destroyed. I don't want to see somebody's property destroyed either, but I'm not going to get an AR-15 and go there and personally try to defend it. That's the police job.
Actually, and the police wasn't doing their job, but that's a whole other story. But actually, he did have a small dog in the fight because his family is from where the heck was it now?
Kenosha.
Yeah, his family lives there. His father lives there, and other relatives live in Kenosha. And he works there, and he travels there a lot. It's a 20-minute drive from where he lived in Illinois with his mother. That's why he was there, to help protect the neighbor. But he was also shown that day cleaning graffiti that the scumbags put all over the buildings during the previous 2 days of rioting and looting.
And the jury got to hear about that?
I don't know if they did or not. I don't know. It's irrelevant as far as I'm concerned as to what the problem was. He was attacked. He defended himself, plain and simple. He was trying to run away from the first guy he shot, and then he was trying to run away from the rest of them that were chasing down as he was running towards the cops to turn himself in. And the cops, when he got there, told him to get back and go away, basically is what they told him. He had to turn himself in the next day when he got back to Illinois.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Florida case, but I suppose that you'd have to do the same thing many people have done with Rittenhouse, is try to study as much of the testimony as possible, or do what the jury did, study everything that's possible that's presented in the trial, and then render a verdict. I don't even remember hearing about that, but I didn't pay ultra close attention to everything that was in the news over the weekend. So we'll put our hands in the trust of the jury and hope that they do the right thing.
Well, they did.
Hopefully.
They found him not guilty.
They do
guilty.
That acquittal. And I think this is really, we're going to have to do a full examination. Rittenhouse was widely viewed as being guilty in the news media.
Oh, by the news media, yes.
Widely? Right. Was condemned as a white supremacist and called guilty, hunting black men, although all he did was shoot white men.
Well, but I think there were some media that looked at him either more objectively or looked at him favorably as though it was that he was always in the right and they knew it. And I just think that, the media is hopefully, well, I think this may lead to lawsuits. I'm not sure, but at least not as sure as you are. But I wouldn't be surprised if it did, because I think just like the Atlanta bomber during the Olympics, the media was very clear
wrong.
That Rittenhouse was in the wrong and that he was part of the problem. Of course, they continue. Now, the anchors no longer say it. The anchors used to say that he carried the gun to
Maria Shriver said it over the weekend. She's an anchor.
Okay, so there's one anchor, but most anchors have stopped saying that he came to Wisconsin with the gun. Most are, a little bit more accurate now. But they still allow guests to come on the program and say that and don't correct them. So,
of course not.
I think there's going to be, I think you're going to find out that there is going to be some reckoning after this particular case, only because it's so egregious. And I didn't really follow the Rittenhouse case details. I'll put my trust in the jury and hope that they, examined everything adequately, or the prosecution just didn't do a good enough job presenting the case. Maybe he is guilty, but the prosecutor didn't do it. Maybe the judge had a factor. I think folks that are scrutinizing this case, more liberal folks scrutinizing the case, as the judge's decisions favored Rittenhouse. And again, beyond that sentence, I couldn't tell you.
Let me point this out. CBS on Face the Nation continue to claim Rittenhouse crossed state lines armed for battle.
Oh, okay.
That was
well,
over the weekend.
Right,
that's CBS's Face the Nation.
Right.
And so they don't have any, they have a nodding acquaintance with the truth, but if it doesn't fit the narrative, it doesn't get reported. That's what's so bothering about all this, the fact that these people are willing to continue reporting something not substantiated by the facts and not generally considered to be true by people who actually saw the evidence in that trial.
All right, Stan, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
The mainstream media's lies are so egregious that the foreign press thought that Rittenhouse killed black people. All right? News media out of Brazil was reporting that he killed three black men. Okay, that's how egregious the lie was. They didn't report that all the people, so they call him a white supremacist, they call him a racist, when the people that he shot were all white. He didn't shoot no white black people. It was white people. Let's get that straight, because, you know, so they're, and they're calling these people heroes because they were at a Black Lives Matter, I don't know what it was. It was a riot. It wasn't a protest, because there wasn't a lot of protesting going on when they're torching buildings and looting, because they were at that protest to cause problems.
So if
they're
heroes
to the left.
If you kill black people, you're a white supremacist. But if you kill white people, are you a black supremacist?
Evidently, still a white supremacist, okay. According to the news media.
Yes, you can't avoid it. You're part of the problem no matter what, so you're in trouble.
Well, again, it's fueling the division.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you.
It's, again, fueling the division.
Well, yeah, at least you could ask that the media be objective and be accurate. I don't think that's too much to ask. But we do have one feather in our cap now. We know that they're inaccurate, and we know that they're biased. So I think that really should help us to determine when you see something or hear something, make sure you go get the facts. You know, I am not an objective person in this discussion, so I don't know if Rittenhouse was guilty or not. I really do trust the jury. They saw days right. and hours of testimony and all of the evidence, and it took them a long time to reach a verdict, which would lead you to believe that, well, maybe it was a little bit close. And, of course, if you're close but not unanimous, then that's an acquittal.
Well, I read one of the stories on CNN said the jury was overwhelmingly white. So, in other words, the implication is a white jury would find this man innocent no matter what he did. You know, I agree with you. I believe the jury system works better than that. They hear the evidence. They hear the instructions.
Was there anybody black on the jury?
Yeah, I think there was. But remember, they had 18 people hear the case.
Well, that person was convinced, too, that
acquitted. 18 people hear the case, and then they drew lots for the 12 that would finally render the verdict. So I don't know how many of the original 18 were people of color and how many of the others were, because they didn't report on it. I mean, the judge tried to keep them safe, despite MSNBC's attempt to follow the jury bus.
We don't know, other than being able to say in a future newscast, we know that they're staying at the Smith Hotel or whatever. We don't know what MSNBC's attention or what their intention was with following the jury bus. I was glad to see the judge called him out. The judge has received some criticism for his campaigning and for some other decision.
Campaigning?
Right afterward, he said, I forget how he worded it, like a resourceful person will see my name on the retention ballot or something like that, because he's up for re-election be.
His conduct could either help him or hurt him, depending on who the people are.
Cindy, last caller before a quickie break. You're on the mark.
First, in case I don't call again this week, happy Thanksgiving to everyone on the show and who are listening.
Well, thank you.
I wish you a family-filled, joyous occasion. Now, I have two things I want to say. Number one is this. Oddly enough, I keep hearing a tone in the conversation about this case that I find deeply disturbing, and it rings towards another issue, which is that sometimes when a woman gets raped, they ask, well, what was she doing out there at that time of night? She had no business being out at that time of night. Why was she wearing those kinds of clothes? Everyone knows those kinds of clothes invite this kind of attack. So I think that as much as that hopefully is clanging in your ears as an irresponsible thing, everyone here in this country has the right to walk the streets any place else in this country. We've never made any rules that made that not true. And I think we should avoid making comments that sound like we believe that some people don't have the right to be walking in some places, because that's just wrong. Whatever their motive is irrelevant. The other thing I wanted to say is that this whole thing is, to me, frightening, because it strongly highlights that we seem to be shifting from a justice system that's predicated on trial by jury to a justice system that's predicated by trial by the press. And I don't see that anywhere in the Constitution. And while I certainly uphold the press, the freedom of the press, they are not free in any way, shape, or form to bias or to prejudice or to attempt to influence the outcomes of trials. There was a time that there was people were so judicious, and you'd say alleged, 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 and people would, you know, the press would not make assumptions about this. And now they've leapt wholesale in to hang the son of a gun. It's very worrisome to me, because that could be me. That could be my son, my husband, my daughter, that they're attacking like this without grounds. It's very troubling. And none of us should support this kind of behavior in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't serve our republic well at all to allow a group of people to try to bias legal matters like this. It's terrible.
Well, let's face it, the media is now woke, and that's what's driving all this, wokeness. We have to decide that anybody who would possibly protest a Black Lives Matter event must be a white supremacist. And anybody who would shoot someone at such a rally has to be a white supremacist. I mean, we're so quick to put labels on people, racist. I mean, everything is about race today, you know. And I have to think Dr. King would roll over in his grave if he came back, if he were around today to hear what's going on. It's not what he preached, and it's not what he believed, but it's what we've come to. And people like Al Sharpton, who, for all intents and purposes, are race baiters. I mean, they make everything about race. I don't think they're serving this country well either.
I think they're contributing to the destruction of the fabric of this country that binds us all together. Spending time fueling suspicion against your fellow citizens without grounds, based on prejudice and bias, is really un-American. And we're seeing this happen more and more, almost like recreation. And I find it very disturbing. And I worry. I worry that this could be turned against me or my family. And how would we survive this? We've seen this. Look at what they did to Paterno. Look at what they did to this young man. Look at what they did to the boys standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It's just very disturbing to me that the press leaps to the front of a pack of ravenous dogs, and they chase after people, never mind the facts, never mind a jury, never mind a trial. Just take them out and hang them, Charlie. It's like the Wild West all over again. It's very troubling. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. One of our good listeners sends us some questionable information. Dennis says the Rittenhouse judge was an Obama appointee. I doubt
that's a common pleas judge.
I don't think so.
They don't get appointed by
I think they're elected. If anything, he would be appointed by the governor of a state. If there were a sudden vacancy or something.
That would sound right, but not by the president of the United States.
And federal judge, yes, but this was a local case. So, yeah, Dennis, check your facts. I think you're being misled by...
Either that or tell us where you got that.
By Fox News once again. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will take more comers. We're really talking about the Rittenhouse verdict. I'm trying to emphasize that if you know all of the facts in the case, tell us why you think there was an acquittal, or maybe why it took so long to reach a verdict. There must have been some holdouts along the way, but of course the verdict was unanimous, and so that is certainly noteworthy when it comes to determining guilt or innocence. There wasn't a mistrial because they were stuck on this. They declared him not guilty unanimously, so there's that. But I think, moreover, we're going over the news media and the fact that Rittenhouse was convicted long before he ever faced a hearing, and that was the fact that the news media said he was, some folks said he was a white supremacist and had gone there with a gun. And Cindy made a good point that even if he is underage, he is permitted to carry a gun wherever he wishes, anytime he wishes. This is America, and so you can do that. So
yeah,
that's your prerogative.
Have you heard about Fitchburg State University in Massachusetts?
Not yet, but I have a feeling we're gonna.
Well, we got more inclusion and diversity going on here.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
The speedy dialer could get through, but we won't have too much time. But 1-800-795-9565. Mr. Rob Center, a fabulous producer, is going to have a fabulous 3-4-5 day week. I'm not sure how many days he works these days. We found out on Ballotpedia that the judge, Judge Schroeder, was appointed by the governor, the Democratic governor in Wisconsin in 1983, and has run for re-election a number of times.
Every 6 years since then.
And has won. So he would be up in, 2026.
But going back to Cindy's point about divisions in this country.
In the U.S.
I found this interesting. Fitch, you know, all this angst over the verdict. Fitchburg State University in Massachusetts hosted several processing spaces segregated by race in response to the Kyle Rittenhouse trial verdict, which found Rittenhouse not guilty in all charges. The Fitchburg State University Center for Diversity and Inclusiveness announced the processing spaces in an email to the campus community members, which also erroneously stated that Jacob Blake was killed. The Center for Diversity and Inclusiveness is creating space for our community to process the not guilty on all counts verdict in the Kenosha, Wisconsin case, where Kyle Rittenhouse, an Illinois native, shot and killed two people protesting the wrongful death of Jacob Blake in 2020. Kyle was acquitted of all charges in the case after driving to Wisconsin with an automatic rifle. There you have it. This is the University of Fitchburg in Massachusetts.
But who's that? Their campus news?
That's their Center for Diversity and Inclusiveness.
That's who wrote the sentence about him going
but
there.
But what they did, but what they did is they created processing spaces where you could go to discuss the the verdict. But they're segregated. They had some for white people. They had some for black people. And this is the
did
center.
Did they have
for,
a mixed one?
No, they were all segregated. This is the Center for Diversity and Inclusion. Actually, it's the Center for Hypocrisy and Idiocy.
In your view. Know everything about them, and you're ready to pronounce judges. Isn't
you
that
find
funny?
That you find that they're misstatements? They didn't even get the fact that Jacob Blake was not killed?
Isn't that funny that you think the media should not definitely declare people guilty when they haven't had a trial and they don't know anything factual about the case? You know nothing about this campus other than the Fox News
clipping
you brought here, to pronounce that they're idiots
Mark,
and what?
I'm reading their release. I'm reading what they wrote, not what Fox News wrote.
But their motivation and the setup and the mission and work of this center, you know nothing about it, but you're ready to declare it, idiot, and what's the other word for them?
Segregationists.
Okay, well, that's a real word under this particular circumstance. That
one
is accurate, okay. But I just think it's funny how if the media goes off half-cocked and unfactual, you think that's terrible.
I think this is terrible, too. I think they're both terrible.
Right, I got you.
So what you think this is acceptable?
I think if I knew a lot about it, and I would let you know if I found it acceptable, if I'd actually studied it and found out what their mission is and why they might do that, I wouldn't declare them an idiot. See, you're really part of the problem, that you don't need all the facts, you don't need the basis, you don't need the background, you don't need what preceded. You're ready to make your decision as soon as somebody tells you this.
Their news release is filled with inaccuracies.
I gotcha. Well, right, no argument there. Well, is bad.
That's a university. What obligation do they have to try and get the facts straight?
Okay.
Do they have any obligation in Marktopia, or is this just okay with you?
All right. Moving on. Upper right-hand corner, Joe.
Tom says, if O.J. can be innocent, why not Rittenhouse? I wouldn't give you 2 cents for his life. He's under 24-hour police protection and will have to move to a safer place to live. Will another vigilante do to him what he did? Now, why would you call him a vigilante?
Well, do people on the left kill people that they don't like, or is that a conservative thing?
Oh, no, that's just conservatives.
Only
the conservatives kill people
they
don't like.
I think you're right. I haven't heard of any, but I'm sure it has happened. One of our good listeners does know what MSNBC was doing. He found out that MSNBC was trying to tamper with the jury by exposing their identity. That was the goal of the
which would be to put pressure on them to come up with a verdict that the left found acceptable.
Which is highly illegal. But why not punishable? Are they facing charges? Is the network facing some criminal charges for this?
I don't know what Judge Schroeder did after the fact, but he banned them from the courthouse.
Well, I know he rebuked them from the bench. I saw that, I guess on the Sunday show, so we saw that. But it would seem to me that if you're going to expose the identity of juries in order to tamper with them, that's probably certainly contempt. Sounds like a felony to me. I'm surprised they weren't charged, but the media's pretty got wide leeway a lot of times to do these kind of things.
Well, why would MSNBC even want to do that? I mean,
I don't know.
It shows a lack of respect for the jury system in this country.
I think you'd have to ask them.
And the judge did say, and I haven't heard of any of them doing it yet, that the jury was free to say as much or as little about their verdict as possible. And I saw some of the coverage I saw over the weekend was demanding the jury come forward and explain themselves.
No, I think that's the beauty of a jury system is they don't have to.
Right. They did explain themselves when they voted to acquit the man.
Oh, excellent.
The
excellent retort. Yes. We did all the explaining we need to.
Right.
He's not guilty. See you next time you summon me for jury duty. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Write it down if you wish to rebuke me for my comments. Call that number. If you wish to rebuke Joe for his comments, call 1-800-795-9565. We'd love to hear from you either way. This is WDKOK Sunbury, WDKOK News Time, 9 a.m. time for CBS.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is across from me. And we're having a vibrant, fair, open, factual discussion about the Rittenhouse verdict and what folks think about that. And we would love your remarks, too. Don't do what I do. Don't make brash assumptions and assume that somebody's guilty when they're not. And we would just love to hear from you. What's your view on this verdict? Justice served, or you're doing like I did. I really didn't hear much of the actual testimony, so I sort of reserved judgment and placed my faith in the jury since they got to hear a lot of it. And it took a long time to reach
it. I think they got to hear all of it.
Oh, thank you. You're right. Thank you for
catching
that.
They only heard a lot of it, then maybe they should
have
been awake.
I'm news media, so everything I say isn't true. All right? Are you happy now?
Now I understand. Thank
you. One of our listeners sends us a meme, and it shows two individuals in front of the CNN building in Atlanta, and one of them is Kyle Rittenhouse, and the other one was Mr. Sandman, the high schooler who was confronted by a Native American on the in Washington, D.C. several years ago.
And widely pilloried by the media.
Media, yes, including on this show. And it says, Rittenhouse, Sandman agreed to share joint custody of CNN after their lawsuit. So I think that's cute. Thank you for that. Oh, we appreciate that. We don't want you to send us memes, but sometimes we get breakthrough ones that are just so infectiously funny, we have to look at them. One of our texters on the topic of conflict in the U.S. today says, thank our lawless president, our last lawless president, for what's happening.
So Donald Trump's guilty of everything. Joe Biden did nothing wrong ever, but it's all on President
Trump. Did President Trump contribute to division in the country, or would you say no, he was
a unifying force? He certainly wasn't a unifying force.
Okay. Well, that's what I think the caller's saying.
Well, not in my opinion, but that doesn't mean that he was wrong. I just don't think he was trying to bring people together. He was trying to separate people, maybe unintentionally, but that's what he was doing.
All right. And one of our good listeners says, Cindy is speaking the truth again. Americans can travel to any jurisdiction in this country.
And I realize what Cindy's point is, and she's right. You do have that. You do have that right. But let's face it. This was a 17-year-old kid who had a gun in the state where he was going to go. One of his friends apparently ordered the gun for him and held it for him.
Oh, okay.
And then he went there and picked up the gun. Now, true, he didn't cross state lines with a firearm.
Is he permitted at 17 to purchase or to take custody of the gun?
He couldn't purchase it, but it wasn't, and a quirk in the law, it wasn't illegal for him to have it.
To have it, okay.
Because of the size of the barrel. The barrel, as I recall the debate in the trial.
So he can't have these short guns, the carbines per se, but he can have a a rifle.
Right. I think it was 16 inches, something. The 16 inches was the length of the barrel or something like that, where it was that made it all right. So, but he didn't cross state lines for it. But he obviously had to know, and his parents should have known, that he was walking into a situation where he could wind up in trouble. You know, yes, he had every right to make that decision. But, you know, I'd like to think if it was my kid, I would have counseled him at the very least about putting himself in harm's way or putting others in harm's way. And I certainly would have been appalled if I found out he was going there with a high-powered weapon.
I don't think it's high-powered. It's just a normal AR, probably 222, I think they are. I forget.
It shoots rather quickly, doesn't it?
Well, it's semi-automatic. Shoots as fast as you can shoot it.
Okay.
If it's a typical AR. Like I said, I didn't study this case, but in any event. All right.
He was well within his rights, but I'm just saying he put himself in a position.
You're looking for trouble, as they say.
I won't say he was looking for trouble, but he put himself in a position where if trouble was around, he was going to find it.
Okay. All right. 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners says the Kenosha police are investigating the MSNBC producer for following that jury bus. Okay. So that answers that question. Why wasn't he charged with tampering the jury? Because an investigation's underway. One of our good listeners says MSNBC was going to identify the jurors as part of a tampering initiative. So that's obviously illegal. All right, 1-800-795-9565. What's your view on this? It certainly will not, probably anyway, occupy the whole show. We have two vaccine-related questions. Another listener has an email, the subject line, Biden success. So we'll have to look at that. And there's another one under that.
That must be a fairy tale.
The first line of somebody who is irritated by lefty liberals. So we'll read that in the radio as time permits. But we are the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, so give us a 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Our toll-free line is open. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. 70236. Always include the keyword OTM in your text. And if you haven't signed up for Text Connect, you can do so by sending the word WKOK to 70236. You'll get a reply that says you're in, and then you can send us messages at 70236, include the keyword OTM. It is two-way communication during On the Mark only. Don't send us a message in the middle of the night saying, I need to talk to the newsroom right away, because we don't monitor it. It's just for you to send your opinion to WKOK, and you're limited to 150 characters. Let me talk about some wonderful characters, and these are Ernie and Austin and Jason and Alphonse and Jeff and the rest of the folks, and Tom and company at the Sunbury Motor Company. These are folks that have been super serving folks on North 4th Street in Sunbury since 1915. Well, they've been super serving folks as the Sunbury Motor Company since 1915. They haven't always been on North 4th Street, but as they grew and grew and grew, they had to go there. And they're also now on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Hummelsworth has the Kia dealership, and there's some brand new Kias on the lot there for you to look at. And the Ford and Hyundai vehicles are on North 4th Street. They also got the Quick Lane there on North 4th Street, where they specialize in all types of services on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web and make your appointment at the Quick Lane at sunburymotors.com. You can look at the new Ford, Hyundai, or Kias to your precise specification and find out about getting a brand new Ford or Hyundai or Kia from the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. And we thank them for being the sponsor of WDKOK's On the Mark. Traffic still slow on Interstate 80 eastbound in Northumberland and Montour County at mile marker 222. This is after a tractor-trailer crash earlier today. Numerous vehicles getting off the highway at the Limestoneville exit also led to some long lines there. No injuries reported through all of this, and PennDOT now says traffic's moving slowly through that area. A COVID-19 vaccine available for young children was approved recently. Dr. Jennifer Vodzak, a Geisinger pediatric infectious disease specialist, spoke with WKOK about the vaccine that was considered experimental for a time but has been approved and is known to be safe and effective.
We've been able to have smart people and smart scientists really thinking through this, using technology that has been growing and developing over the past 30 years to be able to develop a vaccine like this for adults and now for younger children, now ages 5 to 11.
You can hear more about the COVID-19 vaccine for children from Dr. Vodzak on WDKOK Sunrise. Police in Cole Township investigating the death of a woman found in a home on West Holly Street in the township. News item reports that Shamokin and Cole Township police discovered the body after conducting a welfare check requested by a concerned neighbor. One person was taken into custody at that location. Dickinson College is honoring its past in renaming a residence hall and campus gateway after former slaves. More than 50 descendants attended a special ceremony honoring their ancestors Saturday morning. As the country deals with a racial reckoning, students and faculty at Dickinson College have made it their mission to honor the true past that may be associated with the campus. Two state senators announced plans recently to introduce legislation that would allow Pennsylvania's medical marijuana patients to grow their own plants at home. Senators Laughlin and Street said they'll co-sponsor the legislation to allow individuals who are approved for medical marijuana to cultivate a limited number of cannabis plants at home for future use.
Well, there's a plan.
And Disney's having a more inclusive holiday season. Visitors to both Disney World and Disneyland are reported seeing black Santas in and around the theme park. The park's goal is to make sure that the Santas are representative of our country as a whole. It supposedly marks the first time in park history that black Santas have been part of the portrayals.
Any Asian Santa Clauses in the mix?
It doesn't say so.
Native American Santa Clauses?
I would think they'd have to. If you're going to have a show of diversity.
How about Hispanic Santa Clauses?
If you're going to have a show of diversity, you're going to have to
Unless you're at Fitchburg University, in which case you're not going to do that.
Joseph, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting a short time. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. I'd like to comment on this Rittenhouse case. As Cindy was saying, she's perfectly right. And all the conversation about him crossing the line with the gun, he shouldn't have been there, that has nothing to do with the evidence. Did he feel that his life was threatened, that he had to use deadly force, okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where a mob was surrounding you and threatening to kill you. I know, I think it was back in the 90s when I was in Kenya, East Africa, when they had the tribal clashes there, and the Kikuyu and the Luo tribes were killing each other. And we were going down through the Rift Valley, and they had boulders on the road, and we had to stop. And they surrounded our vehicle. There was hundreds of them with machetes and clubs, and you could see the bloodlust in their eyes. They killed 30-some people that day, put tires over them, burnt them, hacked them up with machetes. And so you're in a situation like that, you get a different thought on that thing. And as I watched the videotapes, you know, this guy, you know, the first guy he shot threatened to kill him. He's running after him. And, you know, this is a 17-year-old boy, and he turns around with a weapon and shoots him, you know. And then the other guy, of course, he's hit, chasing him down the street, and hits him over the head or upside the head with a skateboard, knocks him down. The guy's jumping on him with his foot to his head, and then another guy sticks a pistol in his face, and, you know, what's the evidence here? I think I'd feel deadly force is needed to save my life.
But there's
and
two different. There's
the jury
two.
Saw.
There's two different issues there, Joseph. One, you're right. You're absolutely right. It was self-defense. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. But the other is, why did he put himself in that position? And that's certainly a valid point
that's
too.
Irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant.
To do with it.
Not irrelevant.
If he has a right to be there,
then
and if he wanted to defend his someone's business or scrub graffiti off the wall, and he did lend first aid to someone, that you know, that's a good thing. He wasn't there to riot and kill. But he was chased down by these, and I'm telling you, when you get a mob like that, you don't know till you see their eyes. And there's another spirit takes hold of a mob, a lynch mob, and they feel justified because they have that mob mentality. That in other words, if you're with a mob, you can't be held responsible. That's what it is. That mentality that there's no responsibility on your part. And they just do as the spirit leads them, and it's satanic. It's all satanic. And I saw that in the eyes of these people in Africa.
Told you.
My
yep.
goodness, you have hundreds of people surround your vehicle and with machetes and clubs and just screaming like banshees. It does something to you. I mean, I had divine protection. I know that because we made it through that situation.
All right,
but there were 37 people that were butchered that day.
Right, hold
but
on,
Joseph,
Joseph,
he's a 17-year-old kid. Now, somewhere down the line, you must be willing to concede that a 17-year-old isn't going to make the same common-sense judgments a person with some more maturity might make. Why would he put himself in that position? Why would his parents, and he is a minor, was a minor at the time, why would his parents allow him to put himself into that situation?
Well, I wonder, you say parents, plural. I didn't see anything mentioned about his father. I think he's, I don't know if he's a single.
Mark says his father lives in the Kenosha area. Isn't that what you told me, Mark?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh, no. Stan, our earlier callers, I said he didn't have a dog in the fight, and Stan said his father lives in Kenosha or in the Kenosha area, so.
Well, again, a 17-year-old kid, you know, he just feels like he wanted to do something for somebody to help out. I don't know what his mind was and his thoughts. You know, when I was 17 years old, I don't want to tell you some of the things I did, you know.
Well, you have
things,
told
you know,
us some
actually.
Of the things.
Bon, there's no
and
evidence.
They were right.
There's no
mind,
evidence.
In my
he was...
mind, in my eyes, you know, right. You just don't, you know, you're not mature at that age.
Right.
And all right. We got you. Thank you so much,
thanks, Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Appreciate
take care,
the
sir.
Call. Hold on. Bob will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Good bumper music. Thank you so much, Rob Center. Fabulous bumper music. Fabulous producer across the board, so we appreciate that. We've got a caller who's waited a long time, so we'll turn the microphone on. Good morning, Bob. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say, look what Nancy Pelosi done. Again, she got the Biden Build Back Better bill passed through the House.
And she's the best whipper we've had in a while.
Absolutely. Look at all the things she's done for our country. For the people.
No, she's done
just
to
like
our
Joe
country.
Biden. For the people. Not against the people. Not for the 1%. For the blue-collar workers. For the military. Not taking money from military families like the Republicans done.
Oh, brother, you've been drinking that Kool-Aid, Bob, too
no,
long.
No, he's right. She deserves credit for producing this vote on the stimulus package. Now, you may not like anything in the package. I'm sure you'd probably like something that's in it, but you have to give her credit for being able to get the job done.
She has a majority.
Right, but
it took her forever.
Yes,
it took her forever.
As you know, in Washington, have the majority is just the first step to finish that chapter. You got to get all your people on the same page.
Well, remember what Will Rogers always said. He said, "I don't belong to any organized political party. I'm a Democrat."
Is that what he said? Okay.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I never met the guy. I don't know.
Well, do you remember Arlen Specter?
Yes, we do.
Wasn't that long ago?
Do you know how he met Joe Biden?
Well,
they rode the train from Washington back home every night, and that's how they met on the train. And Arlen Specter actually came around and saved America with one of Joe Biden's bills or whatever for the country, to save our country back in the early 40s or 50s or something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
That Arlen Specter was in the Senate in the early 40s or even in the
House. Well, okay.
Well, they might have met on the train once in a while, but Specter lived in Philadelphia, so they'd be on the train for a little while together.
A little while together.
Right, and Arvin Specter came around and lost because he went with Joe Biden.
No. You're conflating all this stuff, Bob. I hate to tell you, but the vote you're talking about was a vote on the impeachment of a guy named William Jefferson Clinton. And Arlen Specter voted not proven, which was one of the votes that helped not get a majority of people to convict the president at the time.
And Arlen Specter lost because he joined one political party after another and became completely unreliable as to how he might vote on anything. And finally lost in a primary, right?
He lost in, well, he switched in the primary because he knew he was going to lose the Republican primary. He switched to the Democratic Party, and I'm not certain whether he won that primary or lost
it. I don't believe so. I think he got bonked out by a Democrat.
Lawrence is worthless, man. Do a right back at you to Cindy. And I couldn't believe it when she said about Biden done something good with shutting down the XL pipeline on Friday. That made my day.
Yep. Yeah, she's absolutely right. Well, and eminent domain is a big issue.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying eminent domain is a big issue, and it really needs to be looked at in this country.
Eminent.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it's really. First of all, we got to learn how to say it. Then we got to learn to stop misusing it.
And one of your callers on Friday said that, you know, Trump was elected because of Obama. No, he wasn't elected because of Obama. Obama done his two terms. He wasn't allowed to be reelected. He won because of Hillary, husband, and the blue dress. That's the only reason that Trump ever got into office. If it wasn't for that blue dress,
I think both observations are way too simplistic. But anyway, we'll let you go. All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as far as that Rittenhouse goes, I think justice was served.
It is, near as we can tell.
Well, you think it was. All right. Well, we agree on something.
Noted.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you so
much. Take care.
1-800-795-9565, our telephone number. Joe, you want to pre-read this or just launch right into it?
I'll launch right into it. What I think about the trial. First, the case should never have been brought to trial. I watched the whole trial and never was Mr. Rittenhouse running toward any of the people he killed. He was running away, and he also fell on the street, a very vulnerable position. That's called self-defense. I wish the prosecution would have seen that long before it started. It was about the gun and not allowing self-defense. Okay.
Well, and I think if it were that simple, the prosecution certainly has all the evidence in front of them. And I think, you know, what Joe's good phrase that he used today was, don't go looking for trouble may apply. If you're going to put yourself in harm's way, you can't claim self-defense when it leads to trouble. I'm just putting that out there.
You can't create your own problem and then claim
your
self-defense.
Hazard, right.
Now, he didn't create the riots that were going on there. Had he provoked them and then tried to claim self-defense after he shot and killed people, that would be a different thing.
Right, and I think he's guilty of escalating the potentiality for trouble. But that's not a crime.
Well, but was he? I mean, if he was in fact running away, if he attempted to avoid everybody who he wound up shooting, if he attempted to avoid them, then it certainly is self-defense. If they came to the point where they were hitting him, we have a call coming in, but if they came to the point that they were hitting him or causing a problem for him, you know, then he has every right to defend himself.
All right, one of our listeners. So we mentioned that the state has got a, I don't even think it's a formal bill yet about medical marijuana being grown in your own house.
Oh, there's an excellent point our writer has here.
Go ahead and read it then.
It says, isn't the med pot supposed to be incapable of getting the user high? Homegrown won't have that same property. And that's an absolute correct statement.
Okay. Does well? I think cannabis is what they're growing. Is that exactly the same as marijuana?
Is it HTC that's the active? THC is the active ingredient in there, and that supposedly
is that less prevalent in cannabis, or is cannabis? I don't know. We'll have to find out. Well, all of this is going to be talked about because this is going to take the form of a bill if it hasn't already, and then it'll be discussed and talked about. You'll see it more widely. The story we read is from the Center Square, reported on that. And another individual says medical pot approved persons being able to grow their own pot legally, what could possibly go wrong? Yes, I'm growing my own medical marijuana, and I need almost 7 acres of it per day, so please allow me to grow my own.
They have all these safeguards on these medical marijuana growing facilities around the state, and then to allow people to do it at home. You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's going to undermine the industry. Well, and that's a good point.
And are you going to have to get a prescription for your doctor for a certain number of plants?
I think that's a good point because the medical marijuana industry was put through so much scrutiny and so many hoops to go through to be in existence. But on the other hand, you know, this is a freedom issue. Everybody should be able to grow some pot in their home if they want to, medical or otherwise. Yes. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Should I be able to grow poppies and make some heroin or, you know, other dangerous drugs?
Well, I can see how you can take a dangerous drug and say that maybe people shouldn't grow that at home. So that's fine. But honestly, I think this idea that you shouldn't be able to grow a little bit of marijuana in your own basement is perfectly ridiculous. It's obvious that it's a freedom issue. It's funny how you come down on the side of freedom under most circumstances, except when it comes to growing a harmless plant in your basement.
I would not submit to you that marijuana is a harmless plant.
Okay, well, then you're
uninformed. I believe
it
has therapeutic benefits, and I think what the state has done is enhanced those benefits without any of the drawbacks associated with the plant.
All right. One of our good listeners and I agree that Nancy Pelosi did a fabulous job whipping the votes for the Build Back Better plan, but I would bet Mike's going to take umbrage with that. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm traveling right now, so I don't know if I'm going to sound okay. Just let me know, and if I'm not, I'll hang up. But as far as Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are concerned, I don't really listen to the mainstream media. I listen to the average guy on the street. And I happened to run into a couple yesterday that, you know, I'm kind of guesstimating that they were average people, maybe a little above average. And they told me that they were very concerned, you know, and I didn't ask them what they did for a living, but I kind of took it that they had, you know, rather average jobs. And they told me that they had a budget every year, and what they tried to do was work it out so that they could save $1,500 to $2,000 a year. Okay, that's what they did. And when they were working on their budget for the next year, they used the gas prices and the food prices increases, and they said that they are not going to be able to save a penny unless the gas price comes down and food prices come down, which I don't think, well, I think maybe they will. But basically what they were telling me is on their income, they've taken a hit of between $1,500 to $2,000 a year. So that's the average that, in my mind, they're average people, okay? And if this is the way the Democrats are going to save America, I think we're heading in the wrong direction.
I don't think they're going to save America. I think what they're going to do is create massive inflation over and above what we have right now. I mean, the president, he isn't doing anything about the border. He isn't doing anything about inflation. And gasoline prices are, what, almost doubled what they were a year ago. Maybe they're more than doubled.
Well, a lot of that is the pandemic spring back. But the president has failed to take action on a number of opportunities that could help control prices and reduce inflation. We know that's to be true. So he's got to take action. I think they think this is going to be, what, transient is the word they use? Or
transitory?
Transitory. They say that it's not going to last long. But even if it lasts 2 years, that'll kill them in the midterms. And we certainly aren't going to see a Democratic president in there again unless, you know, these kind of things get under control. I don't think the president is as to blame for these kind of things as he gets, nor was President Trump as responsible for a good economy as was often heaped on his shoulders. But I do think he bears some responsibility for the good economy, and likewise President Biden bears some economy for what two-thirds of the country now say is a terrible economy. You know, but in any event, he's going to have to do something. And the funny thing is that you don't really get a sense from monitoring Washington that he's really even aware. I mean, he said in a speech one time, somebody told him that prices were higher for things. And I thought, oh, that's a good comment.
Well, he has his list of pre-approved comments he's allowed to make.
Somebody told me that the things at the store are more costly.
Yeah, I can't verify that for myself, but someone told me that's the case.
Anyway, Mike, I think this is supposed to be your call, so
right.
Enough from me.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife was listening. She was enjoying the conversation with you guys. But, hey, here's what I see. I've said this before, that so many things could not be going wrong at one time unless the Democrats were okay with it. And I'm going to go, Mark, you talked about the price of gas and that the president's not doing anything about it. Well, his energy secretary was asked, what are they going to do? And she laughed at that question. I mean, can you imagine her laughing at that question? And I don't know that many people actually know that that happened, because I doubt very much that it was shown on ABC and all the rest of them.
Yeah, and,
I mean,
and plus we're gonna beep you on the show when you say it, so we're not allowed to allow that on the radio.
Well, bear in mind that on the Rittenhouse trial, MSNBC only showed the prosecution's case; they never showed the defense case.
No, you're kidding.
Nope.
Honest to God.
That's the truth.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You know, I can believe a lot of stuff and accept that the Democrat left is the way they are, but I can't believe that. But then again, they pretty much knew they were pushing a lie on Russiagate for all that time. And how many other lies are we going to find out that they've been pushing? Because I'm convinced that most of the people in positions of authority know exactly where that virus came from, but another narrative was put out, and the media ran with it. So, you know what? When Donald Trump says we have fake news, I think as every day that goes by, he's being proven that he was exactly right. We have fake news.
Right. I got you.
And
certainly,
good point.
It may not be fake, but it sure is tainted. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for calling
appreciate
in.
Appreciate your call while
we'll
you're
take
on the
more
road.
Comers.
And you sounded fine, by the way. No problem.
The whole time. Yeah, and please say hi to your lovely bride for us. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to talk to you. We've been talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, but we have some emails that relate to vaccines, so we can get to those. But those aren't the ones at the top.
And we'll... homegrown marijuana.
Oh, yeah. What's that next one?
It says, I thought cannabis and marijuana was the same plant.
Okay, yeah, it could be. I
believe it is.
I'm certainly not informed on it. Let's see.
You mean you never touched the stuff?
Well, yeah, I did a long time ago, but the stuff
called
it cannabis.
Now we know. Would you care to confess further?
Told you I smoked pot in high school and a little bit in college, my first year in college.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, that would account for your...
yeah, my retardation. Right. The fact that I wasn't able to develop quite as far as I had hoped.
Bet you drank coffee, too. It stunted your growth.
All right. Joe, you may be right about Rittenhouse's maturity level, but what is it saying about the rioters' maturity level? Majority.
Older.
Okay.
Older rioters, I think that's the point.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. What are you laughing at?
There's a good one. Pelosi is a communist.
Okay, well, there we have it. All right, well, that settles that.
One of our texters.
All right, join us on this show, 1-800-795-9565. Join the author of the text message that we just read by sending it to 70236 with the keyword OTM, and you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the lower right, Joe.
All right, we need to bring back rationing to bring prices down and a military draft to build back bad.
Okay. I'm not sure what we're saying there, but thank you for that. And Eric is, finish one topic
okay.
And then another.
Doug says, what's amazing about the Rittenhouse case is that so many people thought he killed a couple of black guys. Why is that? Could it be that the media had to make the case about race when it really didn't have anything to do with race? Yes, he was going to a place where there was a Black Lives Matter protest, but he wasn't going there because he was a racist. He went to defend businesses in a town where his father lived, because the police were told to stand down and not stop anything. On one hand, it baffles me that it turned into a race issue, but on the other hand, I shouldn't be surprised, because that's what the media does. Signed, Doug.
All right. Thank you so much for the email. I appreciate that. We have another one of Doug's. We'll try to get to it, but with calls coming in, we can't go into the archives too far. Eric, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Marijuana, legalizing marijuana, not a good idea. how many people do you know, Mark, let's be honest, who have dependency problems to this day, who started out, their first step was smoking pot?
Well, I don't think you can attribute anybody's dependency issues to something they smoked along the way. And the question would be, if they were ever habitually addicted anyway to pot, was that just part of their dilemma and wasn't a stepping stone? It was just part of their, you know, what do they say? They have addictive personalities. Look, we can have a big discussion about legalization of pot, and it appears in Pennsylvania we're going to. So we'll get all kinds of facts as time goes on. But anyway, go ahead.
So, in the typical politician manner, you refuse to answer my question.
Well, I don't know the answer.
Yes, my brother, I'm just speaking from history here. My brother, who still has struggled with dependency issues today, started smoking pot back in high school like someone else did.
Oh, well, there you have it. Well,
and that led to other, and I'm saying that pot is a stepping stone to other drugs, and yes, it leads to dependency issues. So why? Why are we going to say, oh, let's make it legal, because if it's legal, then it can't be that all that bad for you. Because we know we make it legal for 21-year-olds and over, that how soon is it going to be drifting down much more than it is now, down to the high school level and younger than that? Yet?
Right, and we know that people can't be expected to be responsible, make their own choices, enjoying freedom, or worst of all, not have Big Brother deciding what they like and don't like.
Didn't you just argue the opposite side of that with respect to Kyle Rittenhouse?
Because that's okay. We're going to go to cocaine and meth and everything else because people are responsible enough to be able to use it appropriately.
Do you mean say that? Say that again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so what's the next step then? Since now we know that meth and cocaine are profitable, let's make them legal as well too. Because your argument is, oh well, people can use them responsibly, so let's make them legal as well. Where's it all stop, Mark?
I don't know. I'm not going to hash this whole thing out. I think that's a valid question. I think you and I think folks that are these senators are going to have to answer that question as this advances, especially the Republican. He's going against his leadership, so he's going to be in hot water.
Well,
bottom line is that these big producers, now that big business has got into it, they own these guys, so that's who's going to get a pass because they see how to make a buck. And it's just like to big tobacco and everyone else. It's going to be preying upon the people with least resources, and they'll be the ones using it the most, and it'll keep the people who have the least amount of resources, it'll keep them down right where big business wants them, down there at the bottom, so they can keep exploiting them.
But no one is proposing that they legalize, well, I'm sure someone's proposing it, but there's no bill that I'm aware of that proposes legalizing marijuana. It is allowing people who have marijuana prescriptions. Is there two bills?
Okay. Yeah, I believe the legalization bill was introduced last week.
Okay,
also.
Well, that's probably not going to go anywhere, but this is a bill to allow people to grow their own medical marijuana. And one of our listeners points out that the medical marijuana you buy, which is manufactured or grown and manufactured and processed by these big plants, doesn't contain enough stuff to get you high, whereas what you grow in your basement would. So that's my problem with it.
Didn't the lieutenant governor have a tour around Pennsylvania last year and saying, oh, yes, Pennsylvania, once marijuana is legalized? Or did I make that up?
No, you didn't. He may be a stoner. We don't know.
Well, if it looks like, I don't know either, but yeah. But
that
you guys
was 2 years
know my political leans pretty much, but I'm hard against this one with my experience and other families I know growing up in the 70s and where a lot of these kids at that time started their problems, and it never got away from it.
Well, I agree. It's a concern. You know, you have to have some responsibility here, to be honest with you. I think
is it possible, though, that they just have an addictive issue and in their life or in their reasoning, and pot's one of the things that they use, but that the fact that they had this addictive personality led to their dependency, not specifically that they use marijuana. And if that is true, if the answer to that is yes, then why can't other people use it responsibly? I mean, I know that people are alcoholics, and that certainly is a tough thing for them to bear, but the rest of us are permitted to legally and responsibly use alcohol. Is that a comparable discussion?
How many people do you think are out there saying, you know what, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not going to use marijuana because it's breaking the law. And those people may have addictive personalities, but never going to try it because it's illegal. Now that it's legal, said, oh, yeah, I'll just try it once or try it twice and get hooked. And then because they have addictive personalities, are hooked for life. And then we know that the viability of the marijuana is not enough. They move on to other drugs, which get them, you know, give them bigger high. What about that?
Well, what about it?
I think it's an unanswerable question, but a good one nonetheless. All right, Eric, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead. We got to hit the break button. Go ahead.
Well, just thank you for the opportunity to discuss this today. And I think my family situation is similar to a lot of others. I don't know a single family out there doesn't have someone of a relative who doesn't have dependency problems. And anything Pennsylvania can do to try to reduce the opportunity for that problem to develop we should be doing what we can to prevent that. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate your call, as always.
All right. Thank you. 1-800-795-9565. Do you agree with that? Because there are individuals who Lawrence's worthless psychology degree indicates that some people have an addictive personality. Should we ban anything to which they can be hooked because we don't want them to lead into further troubles? Or should we be able to make our own choices? I mean, that's maybe what I'm sort of half arguing here. All right, we got calls coming in. We're going to hit the break button, but join our conversation, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, we got our callers lined up for the rest of the show. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 fabulous emails. It doesn't look like we'll get to them. I'm sorry, we give callers
it's 7 minutes
first dibs.
7 minutes.
Well, we may get to some. One of our listeners says, our government has allowed illegal drugs into our country for profit. Mm-hmm. And I believe the next sentence would be, so why not marijuana or something like that?
Well, that could be.
But we don't know. It's 150 words and then it cuts you off. Al, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, I called about the two drugs. They're manufactured and made. Alcohol you have to make. That's a drug. And heroin you have to make, and that's a drug. Marijuana just grows, so that's kind of like an herb, a natural medicine. But there's only, the main thing was, there's two drugs that can kill you going off of them cold turkey. Do you know what they are?
If you go off of them, well, people have died from alcoholism withdrawal. I know that's true. And heroin, probably.
And heroin. They're the only two that can kill you on the withdrawal. So they're, a lot of people consider, they say drugs and alcohol, I think they're the same things.
Right.
They're both drugs. So if you're going to have one, you might as well have the other and keep it under control. Not like the fentanyl that's just flowing over the borders and killed 100,000 people in the last year. And, you know, these drug dealers, they're ruthless. You get a drug dealer that's got a heroin addict that's a real bother and pain, you know, they get rid of them. That's what world they're playing with. It happened to a worker of mine. I mean, he was good. He was great. Very smart, state champ wrestler. Drank a lot of alcohol. Kind of kept him under control from heroin. But when he fell off the wagon, he goes on heroin and he disappears. And one time he disappeared, never came back. Because he's a real whiner kind of guy, and his drug dealer got tired of him and gave him some of the good stuff, and he never came back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of world you're playing with. So I think, you know, even though this government is kind of, you know, liberal.
So we shouldn't legalize marijuana under any circumstances at all whatsoever, correct?
No, we should make them all legal, and then they could have a list of everybody that's doing it.
So you, when you buy it, you give them your name. Like you can buy it at the grocery store, but that you have to, it's behind the counter, so you have to give them your name.
Well, I don't know. The grocery store is already so crowded with wine bottles and beer.
Yeah, that whole section.
I mean, just, you got to show your identification, and then they know who's buying what because it's on the cash register receipt.
Joe, that's the cafe, incidentally.
Well, you don't drink it there, do you? You have to take it out. You can't sit there and get sloshed in the grocery store, can you?
I think you can have one or two. What they may have seats there at Wise's.
Well, a Giant has an area, too.
Do they? You can drink a bottle
of
two?
I don't know if you can drink. I didn't think you could drink in the store.
I don't think so, no.
I don't know either, but who cares?
Let's keep on passing misinformation if we can.
Right. Well, we'll call somebody and find out. Can I have a beer in your store?
Yeah, boy. If only we had a grocery store based near us.
Right. We could find out.
All right. We got to get the next caller. Al, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9. Oh, scratch that. You'll need that number tomorrow, though. Joe, you're on the mark.
Oh, yeah, on the... good morning, everyone. On the Rittenhouse, I'd like to comment. And I think that unnecessarily he was charged. I believe the jury came back with the right answer there. But the very beginning of this is so, like... Look at the beginning of the charges. It said that, and I do believe it was testimony or known, that within 2 days they charged Rittenhouse. And to me, a prosecutor in that position would have to look over a lot of evidence, right? I mean, within 2 days is incredible. In my opinion, so there was. If you find the motivation for the quick charges, you'll find more out about why it was charged like this. So they overcharged after that, and as the trial went on, it was just as a few people commented on TV. It was as if the prosecution was finding out things as they go. So if you were within those 2 days. Binger looked at evidence of the film, which most of the testimony was about the film. If he would say to himself or his colleagues there, like in a back and forth, Rittenhouse seems to be running away from Rosenbaum for like two blocks, right? So that would be like a red flag that it wasn't a murder. And then Grosskreutz, or before that, then Huber had connected with a skateboard twice, and Rittenhouse was on the ground. You think the prosecutor within those 2 days would, you know, think something? I know he kind of had to make the case up after he had charged. It looks like, and he finally fell on that the idea of that Rittenhouse had lost his ability for self-defense, and they tried to charge him with something else during the trial. So, I mean, I watched some of it, but not all of it. But another thing is Dominic Black may be charged with a crime because he's the one who got the gun, who was the straw man, basically. He may be charged, but there was a guy that kicked Rittenhouse in the face. They referred to as Yellow Pants Man.
Haven't seen him, but
but I know what to look for now.
And they found out that they knew his identity all along. So
right.
And I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, we're out of time, Joe. Thanks for calling.
I hear what you say, but it must not have been that open and shut because it took days for the jury to reach the verdict. But it was unanimous acquittal, so we certainly have respect for that. All right, folks, we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow. This is WKOK Sunbury.